All right. So, like, we just had daylight savings today, this morning, right?
Yep.
I knew it was coming up, just didn't realize it, you know, because I woke up, the oven was like, the time was off. Okay, cool. No problem. But I guess the people downstairs, they decided to have a party, bro. Right? And they decided to have a party till like 5, 6 a.m. and kind of pissed me off. Yeah. It woke me up early. It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah, and I'm not much for like being woken up. I don't think anyone is. Are you a fan of being woken up?
I mean, I'm a light sleeper.
Okay.
And I always like fall asleep last, I feel like. So, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. I don't mind people watching me sleep. Because some people are like that.
That's weird, bro. Do you do you have people watching you sleep?
I hope not. I mean, I hope not, but it doesn't bother me. Does it bother you when like people watch you sleep?
Yeah, for sure, bro. It's kind of odd. Like, I mean, let's describe someone watching you sleep, right? If someone is, all right, this is me sleeping, this cup right here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If someone is like, bro, that's fucking weird. You feel
me? No,
But if they're just passing through the room, I'd understand. I'd be like, all right, that's cool.
Or you're just checking up on them. Like, oh, are they sleeping? That's different.
I am a high risk sleeping hazard. You know, I do tend to sleepwalk. My one buddy was like, yo, bro, you should get your lungs checked out. Cause he said one time I was sleeping and I was snoring and it sounded like I died. And all of a sudden he was like, that's all you heard. And he was like, oh, but he wasn't watching me sleep. I mean, as you see, the studio is like, it's a loft style. So basically, if I'm up there, say, yo, fuck you. You can hear me from up there. Just hanging it down here. You know, that's just how it is.
Yep.
But so these people, they woke me up, right? And it's like 6 a.m. And I'm like, damn it. And I'm like up for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I'm like, yo, they're still partying hardcore. So I come down. I start stomping a little bit, right? You know, being petty, right? Stomp a little bit. Then I go over and I grab the Swiffer. And I'm just like, bang, bang, bang. Like it's a staff, you know?
Yeah.
Then I went back to my bedroom. 7 o'clock, I fall asleep. 8 a.m., I wake up again to them still talking. Like, I'm like, damn, son, they're still fucking going. So I went and I grabbed my speaker, all right, and I set it up exactly where, because I heard them say, all right, guys, it's time to wrap it up. You know, I was like, bet. Now they want to wrap it up. I was like, bet. So they're probably about to go to sleep. So I went and I grabbed my speaker. I set it up on the floor, started blasting music. 8 a.m., I'm like, nah, y'all woke me up. I'm not going to let you sleep. That is my daylight savings story time.
So for me, it was, I found out my truck. So like I got my truck this morning. I'm like, whoa, I'm like, I'm late. And then I was like, wait, no, my phone. And then that's when I realized, but I was up late last night. And when I looked at the clock, it's funny you have a story too, because when I looked down at my watch, I was like, okay, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1:30. You know, I look back up at the TV. Look back down like an hour later, it's 1:38. I'm like, yo, I'm like, what is going on here? So I thought I was like in a loop or something, like a time loop.
It's real trippy, bro. If you forget, it's real trippy. You know, honestly, they're thinking about doing away with it. What's your thoughts on that?
I was just about to say that too. Yeah. So like last year, they were going to do something to get rid of it, right?
Yes. They were thinking about doing away with it.
I mean, you get an extra hour of sleep for fall back, spring forward, you lose it. I mean,
you're for it? I'm for it.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah, I'm for it. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, it's been around for so long. Why change it now?
And it was for like farmers too.
Exactly. You know? So,
but there still is a big need for farmers. Don't get me wrong. That's where I'm like, you know what? There is a fine line. We can't disrespect farmers, bro.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You know, but with that being said, everyone, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and I'm here joined by the man, Mike Wilcox. Pleasure to meet you, bro. Pleasure having you here.
Pleasure to meet you.
As I said, nice watch, bro.
Thank you.
Looking very dapper today. You had like a whole laptop. Where'd it go?
It's over on the table over there.
Pulled up with a laptop.
You know, all my stuff that I carry around with the business stuff. So.
Do you need that?
When I go around, I usually keep my iPad in there, keep track of all my information, sales, all that stuff. So it's just something I always carry around.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You're young yet, right? Correct?
Just turned 21.
Just turned
21.
And you're running businesses?
Yeah. So we got the beef jerky right now. We'll get to that in a minute.
Check it out.
Yeah, take a look at the bags. We just got those bags. But I'm also helping my dad run a painting business. So he's been doing it for 50 years with his dad. So a while ago, I kind of got out of doing like framing and other construction like that and started helping him with the painting stuff. So I think that's another business that I want to pursue right now. So I'll have the beef jerky and the painting, but so he's kind of getting out of it and I'm kind of filling his spot.
In the painting side. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
So where should we start first, bro? I mean, you know, you you walk the talk, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, bro. You got, you know, two businesses that you're trying to uphold, you know, right now. I think, you know, let's just dive into the Homestead beef jerky. Why not, right? Because that's the whole main thesis as to why, you know, I was like, yo, shout out Drew from 570.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here, you know.
Of course. Had to turn the microphone on. What's going on, everybody? I'm behind the camera today.
Doing this thing, bro. 570 Exotics, I appreciate you for putting me through the mic here because, you know, at one point we met downtown and, you know, I just met you and, you know, you were like, yo, if you're looking for other guests, let me know because I, you know, homie right here runs a beef jerky business. And I'm like, whoa, hold up, beef jerky. If you know me, I love beef jerky. So I was like super ecstatic and I'm always looking for different avenues, different types of guests, you know, and this is a first, you know, we've had someone similar. 570 Exotics, we've had Naked Toffee, Josh Kuiper, you know, and I'm all for it, bro. I'm all for the entrepreneurship and, you know, putting out a product such as these, trying to get it on people's shelves and even on the store, man. So,
well, I appreciate the opportunity. And one thing that you said to me on the phone that I really appreciate is that you like to be the middleman. That's the name of the podcast. And that's unique to me because I feel like that's a good mission. Like the public and then you're the middleman. And you're just, so you're helping me, you know, we're helping each other. So it's a great thing.
Yes, sir. I'm all about helping other people, trying to put people together and put them through to each other. Because like, just like Drew put me through to you, I put people through other people like Methodonics, Drew, they met up, you know, it's all about that, bro. Let's share wealth. Growth, let's grow together.
Absolutely.
And that's a big thesis for like episode 100, you know, I'm trying to get a big collab, a little spoiler for you guys, a little tangent here. Episode 100 is going to be a party for a part of First Friday in February. Okay. Mark my words. That's going to happen. I want anyone and everyone. If you've been through these episodes 1 through 100, I need you to pull up because we're going to throw a big collaboration party, you know, creators upon creators upon creators. I want, you know, vendors there to represent their product. You know, maybe even give away raffles. Let's just connect. Let's everyone meet. And, you know, that's going to happen. So mark my words, February, you guys be ready for it. And, you know, this is the public invitation for you all. Location is disclosed as of now, but we'll put you on later. So, Homestead Beef Jerky, my friend. I was checking it out, okay? And, you know, you're on Etsy.
Etsy, yep.
Okay, Etsy, and that's how you do your work. So, I took the time and liberty to check out the about, you know, to check out what you're all about, check out what the business is about. And, you know, something that was really cool was that this product here, just mastering it for generations?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth, yeah.
Wow, man. Talk me through that. Let me hear the family story that, you know, has been passed on to you.
So I was introduced by my dad. So unfortunately, I never met my grandfather, but my grandfather made it with his dad, and then my grandfather made it with his dad. And it was the same recipe. So it just kept getting passed along and passed along. And my brothers never really got into it. It was always me and my dad, you know, making it. Like we'd go out. And, you know, we'd take a deer down and then butcher it ourselves. And then we'd always make beef jerky. And I'd always go to school and the teachers would love it. You know what I mean? Everybody would love it. So a couple of years ago, we made a joke like, oh, maybe we'll sell it one day. You know what I mean? And then, so I don't know if I'm going to save this for tea time or not, but I had a construction accident.
Okay.
And basically, because of that is how this all got started.
Let's hear the construction accident.
All right, so
let's hear the construction accident. If this is what propelled you to be here right now, I think it's necessary for people to hear that.
Well, so I was working for someone doing construction, and I was framing up a house. It was in the wintertime, 2 days after Christmas, and I was basically nailing plywood on the side of the house, like sheathing, and I was just shooting the nails up the side of the house, and my knee was leaned over the edge, and the tip of the nail gun just slipped and shot the nail right into my knee.
Ooh.
So I don't know if I could pull up the x-rays, but
how old are you when this happened?
That was this year.
This year.
Or last year, so December 27th. But yeah, it's been a little while, but about 6 months for recovery. And so I couldn't walk for a while. I had a big brace on. I had to like wobble around.
Damn.
So one day we just decided like, hey, you know, the deer jerky is really good. Let's just try it with beef. You know what I mean? We went to the store, we bought some steaks, did a little bit of experimenting. And I was sitting in my house and I was eating and I was like, man, I was like, this is special. And I was like, I've had people in my ears tell me for years, like, you got to do something with this. It's so good. And everybody that we've had try it so far absolutely loves it. And we have so much support, you know what I mean? But I feel like the nail, like, if that didn't happen, I don't know if that would have been sitting there on the table.
Mm-hmm.
A lot would have been different. I still would have been working in that same spot. I'm not there anymore. Now I have the businesses that, you know, I'm fully self-employed. So it's nice. You know what I mean? It's a change up.
Good for you, man. So young as a serial entrepreneur. You know, you mentioned that you can't use deer. I wasn't aware of that.
So there's a lot of guidelines around it. But basically the summary of everything is to be able to sell venison, it's got to be farmed. So I can't just go in my backyard.
That's kind of odd, man. I feel like, you know, the natural mother nature, you know, isn't that what the people want?
Certain states, you know, it's very different, a lot of areas, but, here, yeah, you can't just kill a deer and cut it up and then just sell it.
So in other states, is that allowed?
It's different with every state, but PA, you can't, but, I believe Hawaii, you can.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a curveball. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I mean, I think about like, all right, so jerky, right? Yeah. I've been to Colorado, and out in Colorado, they've had, they had a wide collection of jerky. As to why, I don't know. But there was like alligator, cougar, whatever it may be, right? Yeah. So I wonder if they have the same guidelines for that as if the alligators have to be farmed, if the cougar has to be farmed. That'd be kind of nuts. You know, I wonder.
There's a lot of guidelines because a lot of it's just freshness, like packaging. That's the biggest threshold on the industry, I feel like, is keeping it fresh because, you know, it's meat. It's going to go bad eventually.
So that's one of the hurdles.
I feel like it is. But with ours right now, it's not too much of a hurdle because we're very small. Like when you kick it up, you know, to a bigger scale like Jack Lynx or Wild Bill's, they have to get it from the factory to, you know, they have to ship it out. They have to disperse it through all their sellers. And by the time, you know, they get it on the shelves, it's already a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So they put those oxygen.
Yes, I know what you're talking packets. About.
So those will help. But like, it all depends. Like ours is fresh. We get the meat. We make it right away. Those bags are a day old.
I got to get into it.
You know what I mean?
I think we got to get into it. All right. From your preference, you know, which one is your preferred flavor, and we'll start off with that one.
So the
and how many flavors do you have?
So we have four right now.
Okay.
I actually just sold out of the other one, so I don't have it, but I will make sure I get you a bag of it to try.
Is it the spicy one?
It is not. I have the hot and spicy one. So original is the recipe that we always had for four generations, and then we kind of built off that. So we have original, hot and spicy, cracked black pepper, which cracked black pepper and hot and spicy is like the same base as original, so it's got the same flavor. But it's got the cracked black pepper, and then it's got the spice to it. And then the other flavor that we have is sticky sweet. So that's kind of a mix up. It's more relatable to like a Jack Lynx teriyaki.
Okay.
So it's not, you'll notice the boldness in this taste. You don't get that in the sticky sweet. There's sesame seeds on it. You might have seen the pictures on the Etsy.
Yes, I did see the pictures on the Etsy. You know, so which flavor is not here right now?
Sticky sweet.
Sticky sweet.
So I think I think you should try original first.
Original. All right, we're gonna try it all out. I do love the packaging. It's very sturdy, man. It's very calm, cool, collected. You know, we got the nutrition facts on the back for everyone who needs to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Speaking about nutrition, you know, I do see that you know, you guys are working to being gluten free.
Yeah.
As we try this out, could you just describe to me like the challenge that goes within trying to make something like this gluten-free, man?
So a lot, you know, I mean, we have a decent ingredient list, for what goes into the marination that we,
I know you eat it all the time.
No, I'm good. I'm good. You can have one of them try it if you want.
Come on,
guys. Absolutely. Come in and try it. So we have a lot of ingredients that go into the marination process, and basically to get something to obtain a gluten-free jerky, every ingredient has to be proven to be gluten-free because, you know, one little bit of gluten in that, you know, it could be problems if somebody eats it and it's not actually gluten-free. That's a big issue. So
I'm loving this right now, bro.
You like
oh,
it?
Oh, man.
Good.
Dude, it's so savory. Like, it's super savory. I have
a lot of good stories, but so on the back of the thing, we have the allergens. So there's soy in there. Soy is a big one because that's got gluten in it. So I have to use like a tamari sauce, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So it might change the flavor. I'm trying to still research, you know, what ingredients. I'm trying to get everything out of the ingredients to make sure that they're all gluten-free, to make sure I, you know, put it out there. But the reason I started is because I have a friend that, you know, real close to me that he couldn't eat the jerky. And I was like, man, like, that would be cool because like 30% of Americans are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So that's 30% of the market you'd be missing if you don't offer gluten-free jerky. It's the way that I look at it. And I want to offer it to everybody. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't want to, I want everybody to be able to enjoy it. And that's it, you know?
Damn it. Hold on. I think, Drew, what's your take on that?
So I can't front because he's my boy, but it is seriously one of the best beef jerkies I've had in my life. You know, when
pick
you
the
try
mic up a little bit, bro.
There we are.
Perfect.
There we are. So had some of my teeth right there. So when you try, you know, like Jack Link's or, you know, Wild Bill's, you know, your regular over-the-counter beef jerky, like Mike said, it's, you know, in the bag for a couple weeks before it even hits the shelves from or coming from the distributor, then coming from the factory. So whereas this very low or very short time that it's been on the shelf, I mean, he brought it right here. Like you said, it's a day old. And
super fresh.
You can't get that too many places, you know?
Mike, can I ask you, how long is the process for making a bag?
So basically we'll call down to the butcher and we use London broils, which is a cut of meat. And go down there, pick up the London broils, take them back to the house. Takes us about an hour to cut them up. We'll make the marinade, like I said. So there's, you know, 10 or whatever ingredients. We'll put them in, soak the meat for 24 hours. Mm. And then throughout we have to mix it because actually the meat can get knotted up and then the marinade won't like be infused in the meat. So we have to make sure we mix it every couple hours. And then after the 24 hours is complete, we put on the dehydrator for 5 hours. So around 30 hours. And I would say an hour of that, maybe an hour and a half is labor.
Wow, man. That's brilliant. And you do this all at home?
Yeah.
Wow.
Me and my pops. Yeah.
That's
me
amazing.
My pops, yep.
So it's just like, I think it's so cool that it like got passed down from family generation to generation to generation. And here you are, you know, taking it to the next level or, you know, yeah, definitely taking it to the next level, bro. I mean, you know, has it ever had an online store? No, right?
No,
there
no.
you go. You know, yeah. So you're definitely taking it to the next level.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just started in May, so.
Really?
Just started in May.
Congratulations, so.
Man. Little before May, but around May.
I'm going to tell you right now, this shit is top quality. This is top of the line right here. And I've only had one bag, you know, just the original. That really smacked the it was so savory. Like, dude, amazing. I love it. And I'm a big fan of jerky, so this is, like, amazing. Back to your gluten-free comment. You know, I think it's brilliant, as you said, that you're trying to not miss the market there. You
yeah,
know?
Of course,
so that
yeah.
shows your entrepreneurship, your mindset, because, you know, I was at an event over here called Good Things Are Happening Fest,
okay.
And there were vendors upon vendors upon vendors, and it turns out the vegan spot, you know, the vegan spot
yeah.
got yep. slammed and sold out as compared to the spots that didn't have any of the non-vegan, non-gluten-free anything, or excuse me, gluten-free, you know, type of market. Dude, they had everything to sell, and it was an eye opener for me because, you know, I've noticed that, you know, definitely society is shifting its habits and trying to be mindful of what they're putting in their body.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely
brilliant for you to not try to miss that market. All right.
So. No, I want to be able to get it to everybody, no matter where they are, who they are. I don't care. I want everybody to try it. It's, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the expression on everybody's face when they try and they love it. That's where the money is for me.
You said you have some stories. What are some of the best impression, you know, expressions that you got after someone's taking a bite?
A lot of my friends used to fight over it. Like they,
really?
It's so funny. So one of my best friends from back home, when I used to bring it in class, because like, you know, I would be able to kill one deer. My dad would be able to kill one. So we wouldn't have like crazy amounts of jerky. Like we can just go into the store and buy it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we had to save it a little bit, but like I said, it's never changed. It's always about seeing people's faces for me. You know what I mean? And making them happy. So I had this one friend, in math class and I gave him a piece and he would put it in his mouth for an hour and just let it sit there in his mouth. Cause he loved the flavor
That's
so
wild.
Much. So everybody would always be fighting over it. Like when I used to sell bags or whatever, there would be people like having bid wars over it and stuff like that. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was Yeah.
You're over there running it. $1, $1, $2, $2. Next five. Hey, Drew, I need you to do me one quick favor here, please. So like before we started this, we got a new laptop, guys. So shout out Ensemble Designs. Who the fuck is designing your shit? You know, him and I did an exchange. Here we are. I have a wonderful laptop. Hopefully no more audio glitches from here on out. So that's a big improvement. And I told you guys, we're working here. Michael just got this new tripod stand. Amazing. Love it. My request to you is the time is off here, like the time set. So if you could just stand behind the camera and just let me know, you know, the time frame. When we get to about maybe like 45 minutes, if you could just give me a signal, I would appreciate it. Because I don't know how to break down 600 to 73 in a minute.
Nah.
I don't know how to do that. Is it showing you that? Does it show you the time? Sorry for this brief interruption, bro.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. You know what? We're just going to roll with the punches then. We're just going to shoot the shit and just keep it going because I mean we have so much more we could talk about here.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So let me get into the second bag here.
Okay, bag number
and
2.
See what's going on. Ooh, cracked black pepper. I think I want to save this one for last. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I'm
going
to be honest cuz I'm a big
cracked pepper guy. Yeah, that one's another fan favorite, I'd say. That one's good.
Hot and spicy. Yeah. Let's do this one next. What's up, Mike? I thought you clocked out. You just left. I thought you clocked out. Ah, gotcha. Yo, Mike, can you tell me what time we're at? Because the time here is a little messed up. Like, as in time for the video. Yeah. All right, that's cool. We're going to roll with the punches. All right, hot and spicy. Here we go, Mike.
Give it a try, boys. So we're trying to perfect it. It's very tough, you know what I mean? We have a small fan base right now, but a lot of people are like, oh, I want it as hot as you can get it. And then there's the people that are like, oh, I don't want it too hot. So we're trying to still find the perfect medium right now. But another thing that we're thinking about doing is coming out with an extreme heat flavor.
How do you get the heat in there? Is it all about the rub, or do you marinate it in a certain type of spice?
No, so we actually grow peppers. And we use those, so they're pretty spicy. So we grind them up and then just put them on before the dehydration process. And then when the pepper's on the jerky, when it sits in the dehydrator, it'll kind of stick to it a little bit better. So,
Michael, can I get another one, please? I gotta taste it again. I grabbed a small slither.
And sometimes the heat kicks in a little late. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It might take a minute for the heat to kick in.
I think I'm getting it now, but
because before, you know, we had that issue where it was like, oh, I'm not getting any heat. And then, you know, a minute later, like, poof. So, yeah, we're still trying to perfect that one.
Out of all these flavors, your newest one is
cracked black pepper.
The cracked black pepper. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yep.
So it went original, then it went probably hot and spicy, correct? And then
sticky sweet.
Sticky sweet. Yeah. I really want to try that one. Have you ever thought about doing a caramelized like candy one? Is that something that people do?
I'm an open book to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've never heard of one like that, but it's not a bad idea. You know, people are always telling me like, "Hey, try this, try that." And I kind of, you know, make a little mental note because a lot of them are really good. We made a Maui mix. It's called. We did dried pineapple.
Ooh,
and that one was pretty good. So we kind of stopped that one for a little bit. But we also have a garlic and herb that we had in testing for a little bit that we might come out with soon. But there's always something in the works in the flavor department, you know what I mean?
So when you're doing these batches, right, how fun is it experimenting all these different flavors, you know, seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work?
Dude, me and my dad are very good in business together because he's the kitchen man. Mm-hmm. He's very good. You know, like that sticky sweet recipe, I wish I had it for you to try. That was his first time ever making that mix. And it's a totally different mix than the other three. You know, like that's kind of like a bold taste.
Yes.
Compared to Jack Link's, it's more, you know, it's more teriyaki based. That's what the sticky sweet is. So
I'm loving this, dude. This is kick ass. This is absolutely brilliant.
I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. You know what I like about it? The generosity with the sizes. Cause I feel like I got a Jackson Link's bag. And I get only like three of those size ones and then like four little ones. So like these are just nice big strands, man.
And that's a great point. The pieces are huge. Like I'll put some pieces on the scale and they'll be like a half ounce. And they are absolutely loaded with protein. So if you look on the bag, so your average Jack Link's is like 16 grams of protein. All depends on like the size bag. But in comparison to this 3 ounce bag, that's what this is. By the way, we sell 3 ounce bags for $10 for $9.99.
Yes, sir.
To add that in there. But 20 grams of protein per serving, and 1 ounce is a serving. So I'd say three pieces is an ounce. You're getting, with 20 grams of protein, you're getting 40% of your daily intake of protein that you need.
So to chime in, basically what he's saying is for all the gym bros out there, you kill a solid workout, you punch one of those bags right there, you're good for the day.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he's saying.
It's a lot. It's pure protein. We use, like I was saying before, the London Broil Cut, and that's loaded with Angus. So like, if you look at some of the pieces, they have some fat on them, but that's what gives it the flavor.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the Angus.
Captures it, man. It captures
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So those pieces are heavy. You know what I mean? They're packed with good stuff.
All the gym bros, definitely tune in to Homestead Beef Jerky. We appreciate you all for watching the Middleman Podcast. You know, we're dropping new episodes every Friday. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Check out his shop, you know, on Etsy. Just check it out on Etsy. Check him out on social media, you know, put it all out there.
Absolutely.
Is there a page for social for this page?
So I have the Instagram and Facebook set up, but I haven't really...
Launched it exactly.
Yeah, but I do plan to in the next couple months.
So
definitely.
You didn't go to school for marketing or business at all? This is just something that...
No, I actually, like I said, a lot of... I had a heavy focus on construction.
Okay.
Prior to the accident. So I went to Career Technology Center of Lackawanna County in Scranton for building construction. And actually, right after I graduated high school, I started my own construction business. So I actually have three. But that one's kind of off to the side right now because I can't do as much work because my knee is still, you know, in recovery.
Were you a solo man in this? Were you the foreman and everything?
Well, so what I did, I'll kind of bring you through my construction background a little bit. So I went to CTC in 10th grade, and I was doing really good, so I was able to get on the co-op program right before COVID. So I was actually going to school in Forest City, and then in the afternoon going to work for half a day.
Wow.
And then I would work, you know, after school until like 8 o'clock at night. Like I always had jobs, always a strong work ethic, and you know, I think that's a key thing.
Yeah.
But so I was working for the contractor for a while. I was doing plumbing and electrical. So I did that for a year and a half. And then that took me to graduation where I was offered a position at a builder up in Mount Cobb to basically kind of be like a foreman. So I started my own business. I was a subcontractor for a year. I did carpentry work. I kind of did it all. It was nice. And I was working for myself. And that's kind of where I fell in love with working for myself. And I knew that's what I wanted to do because I have a strong work ethic, like I said. You know what I mean? Like I'm always willing to put the work in for whatever. And so I just kept pushing. And then after the year, it was a lot, you know, I found like I was doing side jobs and stuff like that. I was kind of crowding my schedule and it was a lot. So I took a little bit of a step down and I started working for somebody again. Mm. And that's when I put the nail in my knee. But after that, I kind of just realized that I think for me personally, I could be most productive and make the most money working for myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I have it's nice to have a flexible schedule, and I feel like I'm doing a lot, you know what I mean? I'm always trying to improve or do something, so.
Dude, back to you bringing in, you know, your worker, you know, you're just your laptop and tablet, you know, ready to assess, ready to give out quotes, ready to go out receipts.
You know,
that's brilliant, bro. I think that's really, really cool and it's smart on you. You know, because people often ask me, like, you know, when you learn a trade, you know, they're like, hey, would you start your own business, right? I'm into trades, I told you that. I'm an HVAC tech, you know,
that's
you
awesome,
mentioned an accident, and, you know, that's something that runs through your mind every now and then, like, oh, shit, if I fall off this ladder, it could be all over. If I slip off this roof, it could be, you know, it could be tragic. And,
absolutely.
You know, that's why we work safe and we hope that stuff like that doesn't happen. But don't get me wrong, I've taken 2 to 3 zaps, you know, shit happens.
Absolutely,
It's not a good feeling, you know. You're
definitely
very,
not.
You're
definitely
frustrated.
Not.
You're like,
yep.
What the freak? You know, because, like, your hand tingles. But, you know, a lot of people often ask me, they're like, Kev, why don't you start your own business with this HVAC stuff, right? I'll be honest with you, man. I don't think it brings me much fulfillment as it does for you, you know, and that's just a mindset thing.
Absolutely.
You know,
everybody's
me,
different.
It's
yeah.
Just my job, you know, it's what I do. I mean, I had this big job during the week and, you know, first time I ever did something to that caliber and it went smooth.
Yeah.
And, at the end I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, that shit worked out great. Right. And then like, at the same time in my head, I'm like, God I wish I wasn't so good at this shit, bro. Like, cause it's like, this is not what I like to do, but I do it because I have to. So like, people are like, yo, would you ever start your own business with the HVAC? Nah, that's not.
It's not everybody's thing. It's good money, you know, in certain aspects realistically, but you do work, you know, but for me, I love seeing the houses being done, you know, like, and knowing that, you know, my hard work went into it. And then, you know, it ties back to the beef jerky, just to see their expression on their face after they see the work that I do. And they're like, wow, looks good. You know, it's like, oh, wow, the beef jerky is good. It makes me, that's the fulfillment part. You know what I mean? That I get from that type of thing.
Maybe if I transition from the commercial aspect to the residential, maybe I get a little bit more. You know,
That would explain. It's a little bit more personal.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
In the commercial aspect, it's like I'm spending McDonald's money. I don't really care.
McDonald's money.
But if I'm spending Mike's money, I feel like, damn, I really got to do a good job here. But I'm also weary about that because that's a lot of liability and insurance, you know, absolutely, when you do stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, even fucking up their carpet by your boot being dirty can be catastrophic for a relationship that you built with a client.
Yeah.
But moving on, last flavor here, cracked black pepper. Let's do it.
Let's give it a shot.
I try to rip them all smooth. That's really pissing me off that I like, ripped it off slanted.
Yeah, nobody usually gets it perfect.
What do you got? You got something to say? Oh, you grab the mic. The smell, it smells great. It smells fantastic. Michael?
Give it a shot, boys.
Okay. So it's 103. So I don't know if it's counting in seconds, though. I really don't. I like it. Honestly, I think it, right now, that's going to be my favorite.
Yeah?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. It contains the most flavor right now. It's very close to original. Let me finish chewing. Sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
Yeah, man. I'm fucking with it. It's very, like, so first one, the original, said savory, you know, makes your mouth water. This one, my mouth is watering uncontrollably right now. Like...
Ayo, pause.
Ayo. We're talking food, bro. Don't give me none of that. This is fire.
That's the most recent flavor that we came out with on the Etsy.
Don't choke. Don't choke live on the podcast, bro.
Give me a minute.
You know, water?
Put your arms up.
We're good, we're good. Fast. Imagine recovery. I died during the show. That'd be crazy.
That would be so bad. That would be like the bad luck charm.
Talk me through naming the brand Homestead Beef Jerky. Homestead.
So, like I said, back when, you know, I was, I don't know if I said this before, but I was just sitting on my couch and I was like, oh, we should make this into a company, you know? So we started, you know, thinking of names, brainstorming with my dad. And I don't know, there was a couple that we had that just didn't click. And then Homestead Beef Jerky, you know, I said it to him the one day and he was like, I kind of like it. That's it kind of stuck because like my parents are very homey type parents. Like,
okay. Yeah. Self-sufficient, like to be home.
Yeah.
Okay,
like they're just, you know what I mean? Like,
cabin in the woods.
Exactly. Gotcha. So the picture that's on, you know, the Etsy, that's the cabin in the backyard. So the name kind of goes with, you know, where it's made.
Yeah, your life, so your background.
Exactly. It's homemade. Like, I want to give that vibe. Like it's we're all about, you know, our customers. It's homemade. Everything's homegrown. You know, it's all natural. Like, I want to stay with that and always remain on that, you know, on that wave.
I like that, like, man. Because
not putting any crap in it, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what we're about.
Because, like, anywhere you go, right? Anywhere you take the business, that's may forever be the logo. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, it's really cool because I can resonate with that, with this logo right here. You know, a lot of people often ask me like, why the mountains and the buildings? Why the mountains and building? I'm like, oh, because I was, you know, I represent Mount Pocono, Toby Hanna. That's where I kind of grew up.
Yep.
And I live in a city now, right? Yep. I live in Scranton. But, you know, nonetheless, wherever I go, whether it be in a mountain or in a city, I can represent both.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So I could keep that. That's why the logo is significant to me. That's why that logo is significant to you. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
It reminds you of home, where it all started. Drew, you have something?
I was going to say, you know, that makes a lot of sense for, honestly, even myself, I would say, because, you know, born and raised in the mountains, but I make my way out to the city, do my thing out there, because, you know, you never know what you're going to run into out there. But yeah, like for yourself, you said you were born out in New York, correct?
Yes. Raise the mic again, just a little bit, bro.
But yeah, there you go. Even for yourself, you know, you're born and raised out in New York City, and then, you know, you
make born and raised. I was just born.
There you go. I mean, raised for at least a small portion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But even still, you know, you have family there. You got roots there.
Memories. Then, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, they might not be, you know, the most clear memories, you know, as if you were, you know, a teenager running around or whatnot, but, you know, you at least have some. So coming back to that, you're now in the mountains. So it makes perfect sense.
I can always keep it with me, man. And that's what I love about it. You know, just keeping the logos and just anything, it's got to mean something. So I think that's really cool that it's that home, the cabin that actually that's where it's made. You know, let's talk about a store, man. Is there, you know, because you started this in May. You know, you started this in May, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's young and it's growing, and I believe that this can grow at a rapid rate. We just got to get it to people.
Biggest thing. But, you know, the biggest thing also is, like, can we carry that production? You know, if we get it into the right hands, you know, if Joe Rogan got it right now and tried it and was like, holy, oh my gosh, you know, we'd have these
flood. You didn't get Joe Rogan, like, but you got Kevin Martinez,
that's
bro.
Right. The next best thing, the next best thing right here. So, But if you know, we couldn't handle production, that would be bad. But I don't want to look at it that way. Of course, that's negative. But, you know, we got to, you know, take some time. But there's definitely a lot of stores that have already told us they're willing to sell
really?
It.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I have a lot of good relationships with people in town. So a lot of the stores in Forest City are willing to put it in. So basically what we're doing right now is we're just taking all the money and saving it. And then we want to build, like, a facility. You know, with our own kitchen, loading docks. We could just have everything in a separate building. You know, we can just expand from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of the trajectory that we're on right now, the road.
That's
so.
Big goals, man. That's immaculate. You know, definitely, you know, having your father to help you with that. And you're just going to have to figure out everything else, man, as Absolutely. Far as, you know, branding and, well, mm-hmm. you already have the brand. It's just more so like employing and keeping up with the orders and stuff like that, man.
Well, like you said, like I didn't go to school for business, and that sounds crazy, but you know what I mean?
Half of them don't, bro.
I'm just doing a lot of research and trying to you know, sharpen my skills about it to be the best business owner I can be, you know what I mean? So
you're good, bro.
Kick the table.
Listen, I'm not a business owner, right? I'm not a business owner, but this is a business. I didn't go to school for business. Drew, I don't think he went to school for business, you know? It's funny because it's fucked up. There's so many people who went to school with a business degree, graduated, and are like serving tables because they make more money doing that than an entry level business job. It's kind of bonkers. So I don't know. I'm not saying school's not necessary. I'm just saying to run a business, sometimes you don't need to have that degree.
I think you just have. It's just there's a passion for it, and there has to be a will if you want to run your own business. Like, you are the one that is controlling how much you make. If you want to get up every day. That's, you know what I mean. If you want to lay in bed, then you're not going to make money. It's just the way it is. Totally, I mean, with any job, but. Especially when owning your own business, like, you have more responsibilities. A lot of people don't think that's the case, but it is.
You got to be prepared for those mistakes.
Exactly.
That no one's ever taught you, that you've had to learn yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, with that statement, have you made any mistakes? Would you care to
A couple minor mistakes. Like, I'll be honest with you. I was trying to do an in-person. I was trying to figure out the in-person aspect of Etsy. And it's very weird because...
I'm sorry, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Like so if I wanted to basically sell you a bag right now,
yes.
Okay, and I wanted you to buy it through the Etsy,
mm-hmm.
Etsy's main thing is shipping, you know what I mean? Gotcha. So it's a big online thing. So they just added a feature where you can click local delivery or pickup, but it doesn't add a tracking number in for the package. So, and with Etsy, there's another thing. If you actually visit my Etsy account, there's a badge on there that says star seller.
Yes.
And basically I could show you the info, but you have to hit these marks. So I have to have a 95% message response rate to people. So if you were to send me a message on Etsy, I have to, you know, respond to that within a certain amount of time, or else I can't qualify for the star seller. Hmm. I have to have a certain amount of orders every month. I have to make a certain amount of revenue a month. I have to have over 4.5 average stars for reviews. So like I hit these thresholds, you know, every month. I was able to just start hitting them because you have to have your Etsy for 3 months to qualify to be a star seller. So now I just hit that mark.
Congratulations, bro. In August. For real. That's to meet those requirements and those qualifications. It sounds like a tough thing to do, bro.
It is. And I swear I've done this before.
Maintain, you know,
it is. It's hard, but finish what I was saying about the, it didn't count when I, you know, when I sold the bag in person, I put, you know, in-person pickup and it actually degraded my shipping percent, like my shipping rate, because it didn't have a tracking number. So I got on with support right away and I was like, I did a local pickup and, you know, you're docking me, you know, against my star seller report. You know what I mean? And I might not like, I could recover from it, but like little stuff like that happens. Mm-hmm. So it happened twice. So it docked my percentage down to like 86. I got to be like at 95.
Now, how was the process of like getting this approved, you know, by FDA, so to speak, anything like that?
It's tough. It's, you know, with the facility to come, like that's going to be our main focus is getting that. And then we can get out to stores and that's, I'm basically laying the concrete, so to speak, the driveway for
the groundwork,
for the big explosion, I guess you could say, you know, when we get that and then it's, you know, off the walls.
How excited are you for that big explosion? Do you think it's coming sooner rather than later?
I'll be honest with you. I was very impatient when I, you know, first had the idea. I wanted to rush right into it and just get right, you know, get going. But, you know, that's where my dad came in to play. And, you know, his 40 years of running the painting business, he was like, you just got to be patient, you know, and everything's going to, you know, work out. So once I kind of slowed down a little bit, and that's basically what I'm doing is just I've slowed down a little bit. We're making good sales. We're making, you know, we're always improving. That's the goal, is to always keep improving. So, you know, we're going to get custom bags eventually. We're going to come out with new flavors, gluten-free. Like I have a whole list of things to do that I want to, you know, accomplish over the next, you know, little short period of time. But definitely evolving is the biggest thing, and just improving and growth, you know.
For sure, man. I appreciate you for coming on the show. I don't know what time we're at, but you know, I feel like we've been talking for an hour. So we're gonna start winding down here and get ready to transition into tea time. My personal review, bro, this right here is smacking. Guys, I'm not capping. Like I would check out his Etsy. Get him. It's $10 for 3 bags plus shipping and handling. That's not bad. You can't beat that at all. Especially as Michael said, for the size that you're getting and the flavor you're getting, bro, is pristine and it's amazing. I can't wait to see you grow and continue to grow.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, before one last thing, do you have any expansion ideas as to like if you could change the type of meat?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I want to get to everybody and vegan is also, you know, and
no shit.
A thing. Cool. So, I mean, we could always dive into that later on. But a big one. Ready for this?
Drop the mic.
Jerky for dogs.
Jerky for dogs.
Because let me tell you something, the dogs absolutely love it. I mean, there's other companies that have came out with it, so we're not the first, but definitely it's not in the process of us doing it yet. You know what I mean? But that's definitely on the calendar to come. It's definitely on the task list to come
for all you people with your furry babies. With they'll be dogs. Able to enjoy it as well.
Yep. Exactly.
They'll be able to enjoy.
Yeah, they love it. They go crazy for it, though. Dogs, they really do.
Mike, I appreciate you coming out, bro. Before Absolutely. We get off the airing, switch in the tea time, if there's anything that we missed, you know, a message for the people, where they can find your website, shout out, anything and everything that you need to. This is your time, bro.
Well, you can find the Homestead Beef Jerky shop on Etsy by just searching up Homestead Beef Jerky. And you could read the about and kind of give a little bit more of a detail of what we're about and stuff like that. You can see our prices, our flavors, our announcements. You can give the shop a follow. Most importantly, follow this man here. I appreciate him having me on. It's been a great talk.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your product with me, man. And I can't wait to see this grow and freaking implode into the next step that you want it to,
hopefully,
bro.
Hopefully that's where it goes. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do.
So with that being said, everyone, thank you for watching the Minuteman Podcast. We're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, joined by the man, Mike Wilcox, over here with Homestead Beef Jerky. Get your bag today. Peace.